and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. What have President Trump and Vladimir Putin been talking about during their phone call about Ukraine? CBS's Aaron Navarro.
Waiting to see if there's any concessions Trump can get from Russia, who has not accepted the ceasefire agreement that the U.S. laid out in Ukraine.
Israel's defense minister says the gates of hell will open unless Hamas releases all hostages. That came after this morning's airstrikes that Palestinian officials say killed more than 400 people in Gaza. CBS's Robert Berger.
All indications are from Israeli officials that this was just the opening salvo in a pressure campaign against Hamas.
The Trump administration has just a few minutes to tell a judge why it violated his order not to deport dozens of alleged Venezuelan gang members. CBS's Camila Montoya Galvez.
The judge will decide whether or not the administration violated his court order based on the information they provided.
Administration officials say the move was legal. CBS News Brief, I'm Peter King.
Hi, this is Beth, inviting you to join me for The Kitchen's Open, the show within the show, each Monday morning at 9 a.m. on The Morning Show on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The state has seen 68 wildfires in just the past week, burning 937 acres and counting. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has more on the biggest blaze in the state in Green Lake County.
In the town of Seneca, the Big Island Fire has burned an estimated 745 acres. Crews were dispatched to the White River Marsh State Wildlife Area right around 4:30 in the afternoon. This is exactly when the winds were gusting up to 40 miles per hour, helping spread the fire, which is currently being held on the south side of County Road D. Two residents have been evacuated, with six structures threatened. The Wisconsin DNR also says that there have been no injuries and that the fire is under investigation. No DNR or private-approved prescribed burn was in the area at the start of the fire.
The Department of Public Instruction has unveiled a site to track federal funding impacts. Joanne Krulantz has more info.
The page provides real-time updates, critical information, and resources related to federal funding for public schools and libraries across Wisconsin. Available tools also include real-time updates on current funding cuts at the federal level and an interactive map to view data specific to your school district. Resources also include personalized flyers that highlight the effects of federal funding for each district. More information is available on DPI's website.
The spring election is just 2 weeks away on Tuesday, April 1st. A photo ID is required in order to cast your ballot. If you don't have an approved photo ID, such as a driver's license or state ID, you can get one at the Wisconsin DMV. Start online at wisconsindmv.gov or call your local DMV during office hours. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
More troubles for the Brewers pitchers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Mariners 14-8 in spring training. Brewers starter Tobias Myers is out now with a strained oblique muscle and will likely miss the start of the season. But Pat Murphy says he thinks Abner Uribe could fill that spot. They are also very pleased with the progress Brandon Woodruff is showing coming back from shoulder surgery. NBA, the Bucks begin a five-game road trip out west tonight against the Golden State Warriors, but it will be without center Jericho Sims. He had to have surgery yesterday for a torn ligament in his right thumb. It happened Saturday night against the Pacers. Sims will be out at least a month. The Bucks have lost four of their last six games. Damian Lillard says it's tough to play team offense when opponents get physical.
It's a tough balance. In your mind, you're like, all right, I might have to dominate and try to take over this 4 or 5 minute stretch. And then you don't want to go against, you know, what the team is kind of preaching. So it's definitely a tough balance.
That's Damian Lillard with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy but still mild today with highs soaring to the mid-50s. Rain in the morning wants to mix with sleet late morning and flips to all snow by the afternoon. Right now it looks like a couple of inches throughout the day and then another couple of inches at night. I'd say expect around 2 to 5 in total. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 46 degrees at our studios.
The Todd Alba Show.
L.A. Tom, L.A., what do you got for us?
We do have a woman problem in this country. There is an issue there that needs to be solved if we are ever to have a female president.
Look, Mexico has a president. Margaret Thatcher. It's just all over the world.
You have to remember Margaret Thatcher. They had queens.
We have Lindsey Graham. Come on.
Wow, that's true.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, he would not be negotiating with the GOP if he was Wisconsin's sitting senator.
I want to clarify, like, I'm always happy to negotiate in good faith, but we're talking about a party that's not acting in good faith. We shouldn't be in a position where we're throwing a life raft to somebody who was hell-bent on sinking the entire ship.
Not something I want to be involved in.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the civic media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, don't miss our weekly Climate Check report with Melissa Baldoff at 6:30. And at 7:30, our homeroom segment on the value of public schools in our state.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Good morning and welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Kevin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Civic media is growing.
It is.
And we would like for you to join us.
Come on along, friends.
Check out our job openings at civicmedia.us/careers. We're looking for producers. Mm-hmm. Greg, you're a producer.
I am.
Calvin?
That guy's a producer.
Calvin, do you like producing? Especially for this program?
Oh, yes, it is. A dream come true.
End it with
no
to
pressure,
produce for Matt
no
and Aaron.
Pressure,
Aaron.
No pressure involved.
Just working at Civic Media in general, Greg, is a dream come true. But it is a privilege and an honor to produce Matinee on Air.
Well done, Kevin.
All right, I'll pay you later.
Well, yeah. Well, you got your $5. That's yep. Coming. No, seriously. If you're considering, maybe you always thought you'd like to get into radio. Mm-hmm. Maybe you always thought you'd like to try something new. When I first started here, I started as a producer.
Yeah.
For Kristen Bry. I learned a whole new skill set.
Yeah.
Which makes me really happy that someone of my advanced age, you can learn new things.
I'm glad you did that, but I wouldn't say advanced.
But you know what I'm saying? I think we get to a certain point in our lives and it's like, I can't learn that.
But that's just it. Oh, Shane, that's where I want you to give yourself some credit. A lot of people say, I can't do that. And you know what you said? I can do that.
It took a while, but still.
And exactly.
Now I, wherever I go after this. Mm-hmm. I have those skills. I can take them with me.
Exactly.
So check it out. Go to civicmedia.us/careers and take a look. Send in your application. We would love to have you grow with us. Civicmedia.us. Coming up this hour after the 11:30 news, we're going to talk about what hobbies you picked up during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Sourdough starter. That's all I saw. There was lots of bread baking.
There was a lot of bread baking. There was a lot of just very, very intricate crafting happening.
Definitely.
Lots of crafting.
So what did you pick up during the pandemic? Are you still doing it?
Yeah.
Or once it was over, you're like, thank God I don't have to bake bread anymore. And then we will wrap up the show.
I'm gluten intolerant.
We'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, courtesy of Calvin, Butterfly Kisses Edition. Oh, it's so good. Stay tuned for that. I think it's important that we go back 5 years.
Okay.
To the outbreak of the COVID pandemic.
Yeah.
And we would love to hear from you. Where were you when you heard about it? Where mm-hmm. were you when you heard you weren't going back to work? What are your earliest memories when you heard about the COVID pandemic and what was happening in our country? 855 and around the world.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter.
I want to throw one more question in there, and it is, if you had to keep working and not remotely, like my wife, when COVID happened, they were like, stay home. We'll send you computers. We'll do all the things. If you had to go back into the office or go back into your workplace
or the grocery store,
what was that like? I mean, did that push you out of that job? Like, we want to know how it affected you, because I believe the pandemic is over. They've, you know, all the scientists have said we are no longer in that phase anymore, but I do believe it lingers. There's a residue. It's always going to be with us. There's a trauma to the whole thing. And it affected people in so many ways in those first, in that first month to 6 weeks, where we saw just it happen, the country come together, and then the eventual just, I need a haircut.
Yeah.
Into what we have become today.
I need my nails done. Yeah. Okay. 855-752-4842. I'm particularly interested in talking to folks who were deemed essential workers.
Yes.
And that included grocery store employees. They had to go to work.
Yep.
Because people still needed food.
Yep.
And I was lucky because I was deemed an essential worker for the radio station I was working at the time. But they gave us special, we had a special certificate in case we got pulled over by the cops on the way to or from work, saying Jane Matinier is an essential employee. Mm-hmm. She is coming to work at X and, you know, and all that stuff. I never got pulled over, but I carried it with me for at least 2.5 years. From what I recall, and again, I was working in a news department at the time, I can remember sitting around this great big table with a whole bunch of people, and the prevailing belief seemed to be, it's going to be over in 2 weeks.
Well, that was the prevailing belief from even some of the experts. They were talking about the idea that we just need to stay inside, flatten the curve, stop the spread. They had all these great sayings. And they really had convinced most people, like, hey, this it's going to pass. If we just do this little bit of work together, 2 weeks, we'll be good to go. And, of course, I bought it.
Did you really? Really?
It just felt like, you know, I've never seen anything like this before. So the idea that a virus coming through could do that kind of damage was sort of like, well, of course not. This is like a movie. Like this is craziness. It'll be 2 weeks. It'll be done. We'll be back to work and it'll be fine. And it wasn't. It absolutely was not. It was for us with the club. It was, we're closed the rest of March. That was 2 weeks. We're going to cancel all shows in April. We're going to cancel shows in May. We're canceling all shows in June. And then we tried to do shows to 12 people and
have them like 6 feet apart and all that stuff.
It was so difficult. The fact that it lasted was amazing. But yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, I thought the experts are saying 2 weeks, then why not 2 weeks?
855-752-4842. We're talking about COVID. It is 5 years ago today, marking 5 years since the World Health Organization declared the global outbreak of COVID-19 to be a pandemic. Since then, millions of Americans have been hospitalized. More than 1.2 million people died. Additionally, millions of adults and children are still dealing with the effects and have been diagnosed with long COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And that is no small thing either.
No.
For folks who have long COVID. And I think news about them has just kind of fallen off the radar.
Well, people who, I mean, honestly, I think people are so tired of talking about it that if you have someone say, I have long COVID, one, they don't know what that means. And two, I feel like people are going to say, okay. Like, it's almost a sympathy get, like you're trying to garner attention.
Yeah. Seth from the Sheboygan area is on the line. Good morning, Seth. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Jane. How you doing?
Good. Thank you. Thanks for calling in, Seth. What do you want to say?
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, I came off a graduate program in school psychology, so I was a school psychologist at a Eastern Shore school district, and all of a sudden the mandate came down to close schools, and I felt helpless. You know, I couldn't test kids, I just was kind of at home, you know, watching nature.
Yeah.
So it was pretty profound, you know, and it was a little bit of a guilt because I still got my paycheck, but I couldn't really fulfill a lot of the duties that I know I had to do.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I think a lot of folks were really frustrated, Seth. And as you say, gosh, I remember watching so many videos. Remember the parades that people would do past people's houses or teachers' houses?
Essential workers, nurses.
Nurses. Remember how we used to applaud at the end of the evening when healthcare workers got off their shifts?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the videos from like New York City where people would be standing on their balconies banging pots and pans to say thank you to these people who eventually were working with wearing garbage bags because there wasn't enough PPE available.
Yeah.
And I think it's important, Calvin, I believe we have a compilation of the then president talking about the COVID-19 pandemic. Let's play that first clip, please, Calvin, from 4 years ago.
A national emergency. Two very big words. We don't want people to take a test if we feel that they shouldn't be doing it. 1.4 million tests on board next week. And 5 million within a month, I doubt we'll need anywhere near that.
Dr. Fauci said earlier this week that the lag in testing was, in fact, a failing. Do you take responsibility for that?
Yeah, no, I don't take responsibility at all.
Of course not.
You said that you don't take responsibility, but you did disband the White House pandemic office. The officials that worked in that office said that that the White House lost valuable time because that office wasn't disbanded. What do you make of that?
Well, I just think it's a nasty question. Some of the doctors say it will wash through, it will flow through, in interesting terms, and very accurate. I think you're going to find in a number of weeks it's going to be a very accurate term.
Yeah, no.
Didn't.
No.
Didn't flow through, didn't wash through.
None of that happened.
No light helped.
Didn't go away just like that in a couple of weeks, and it's all going to be good. And do you remember, and it's not in that particular clip, but he said at one point he didn't want more people testing because then you would have more cases.
Yes, he loves to do that. He loves to mess with the sources of data. He's doing the same thing with the economy where he says, they're not going to count certain things so it doesn't look like the economy is as bad as it is. No, people need to test so we know how many people are sick.
That's why he didn't want to let the cruise ship land. Remember that?
Yes, yep.
He didn't want to have the cruise ship land because that would increase the COVID numbers. So apparently they don't have it if we don't acknowledge it.
Look away.
Which is a pretty amazing, magical thinking.
You know what that is? That's just a nice, it's just a top of the line thinking, run away. Just don't face the problem.
Well, and that's how he did not respond to that very pertinent question about them disbanding this pandemic panel that was in place from the Obama administration. Yeah. That was one of the first things he did when Trump got elected, was he disbanded it. And yet, did he answer the question? No, he insulted the reporter.
Yeah.
That's how he handled it. Troy and Mark, I see you on the line. We're going to continue this conversation. If you would like to join us, 855-752-4842. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
She gives me and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Jane says.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. If you were an Irish Catholic immigrant in the 1840s through the 1920s, many of your Protestant fellow Americans, some of whom joined the xenophobic Know Nothing Party, tried to suppress your vote. A famine in Ireland and economic instability in Germany saw millions of immigrants coming to America beginning in the 1820s. According to Smithsonian Magazine, between 1845 and 1854, 2.9 million immigrants arrived, including an estimated one quarter of Ireland's entire population. In cities like New York and Boston, the mostly Protestant American political elite saw Irish Catholics as a threat to their American culture. In 1849, the shadowy Know Nothing Party arose, a cross between a political party and a street gang, and grew to America's first sizable third party. Historian J.P. Dolan found the Know Nothings elected 8 governors, 100 congressmen, and several mayors. Abraham Lincoln wrote, "When the Know Nothings get control, it will read, 'All men are created equal, except Negroes and foreigners and Catholics.'" They proposed a 21-year wait time for foreign-born immigrants to vote, tried to ban Catholics and foreigners from holding office, even deporting 300 Irish immigrants back to Liverpool. But Irish immigrants, when they could vote, voted in higher numbers. By the 1880s, they became a political force in Boston, New York, and Chicago. I'm Brian Beal.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter right before the break, talking about 5 years ago today, the World Health Organization declared the COVID-19 outbreak to be a global pandemic. So we're talking about those early days, what we remember. I really do think we have a lot of collective amnesia when it comes to those early, that first year of COVID. But we got some great responses coming in that we wanted to share from you.
Cassandra on the live stream said she was a brand new ICU RN in 2020.
Oh my gosh, Cassandra.
And what she goes on to say right here hits you directly where you live in the heart here. I saw way too much death in the early time as a nurse, and I cannot tolerate people that deny it was severe. I'm with you, Cassandra. To this, last year I heard a young man, he couldn't have been more than 22 years old, his roommate had COVID, and he goes, "He's not COVID, it's just a bad cold." And I wanted to take him by the scruff and be like, "What are you even talking about? Do you understand what this means?
Do we remember the refrigerated trucks outside of hospitals? Do we remember hospitals running out of PPE equipment? Do we remember people having to say goodbye to their loved ones on FaceTime? People drowning in their own lungs?
Yeah. I'm not a doctor, and I'm not a nurse. I don't work in a doctor's office. I'm not a medical professional. But I know we have cold and flu season. Jane, can you tell me the last time cold and flu season happened where they had to back up meat trucks to put dead bodies in there? I don't think that's happened in a very long time.
I'm fairly certain it hasn't. If you would like to join us, 855-752-4842. Troy from Mount Horeb, thank you for your patience. Troy, what'd you want to say?
Yeah, I was delivering soda at the time. So I always told people I'm essential because people need something to mix with their whiskey.
Not wrong, Troy.
But going into stores was scary.
Yeah. Yes.
And I ended up catching it. And it wasn't bad because I was way up on. In fact, they had somebody come in and vaccinate us at work.
Yeah. Troy, did you have any coworkers who were like, "I'm not doing that"?
Oh, yeah. There were a few. And they didn't make them. Yeah. They should have. but they didn't make them. But, it was weird with me with the COVID because I'm stuffy every morning anyway. Yeah. So in the afternoon, you know, usually that wears off by noon. And in the afternoon, I was still stuffy and my eyes were watering. And I'm like, yeah, I think this is something else.
Yeah.
I went home, I tested myself and I had it. But,
well, we're glad you're still here with us, Troy. Very much appreciated. 855-752-4842. Robert from McFarland listening in Madison on WMDX. I work with adults with developmental and physical disabilities. My nonprofit made the rule that we could not leave their homes except for walks. Staff were quitting left and right. I was working 80 to 90 hour weeks. The only food I had time to get was some pizza because all the grocery stores closed at 9 when I was getting done. The Beltline in Madison looked like the Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. I got into the habit of driving over 70 at that time. Robert, it was extremely difficult. But this is serious. It was extremely difficult because my clients didn't understand what a pandemic was. Yeah. And during that time, I felt like I was really failing my clients.
I remember, and by the way, I was laughing at the scolding.
I know.
I remember the first time I had to drive. I drove to my mom's house. We had settled it. Like, we were staying safe. I had to deliver something. Driving on the freeway for the first time was so eerie.
It was.
And I felt guilty.
It was like being in a disaster movie.
Yeah, exactly.
855-752-4842. Brian from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Brian. Thanks for joining us. Mark, I'll get to you next.
Good morning. Yeah, you know, working with COVID, I was in the pharmacy at the time. And, yeah, as you say, it was eerie because I would have to take the bus to work. And granted, I had a, you know, piece of paper that says I was an essential worker.
Yep.
But, like, the first time that I left work, you know, right after the pandemic started and there was the stay-at-home orders, it was so freaky, like, so dead.
Yeah.
Even in the grocery store, it was just, you know, because I worked for a retail chain, it was just so dead. You know, and the thing I didn't understand, though, that I really kind of had a beef with was how many people would come into the grocery store with their whole family.
Oh, my God.
You don't need the mom, the dad, and six kids
coming
in to pick up potato chips.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, Well, and the way that people took masking, like, this was the biggest sacrifice they have ever been asked to make in their lives, still blows my mind.
Yeah.
It does. Thank you so much, Brian. Really appreciate it. Mark, right before we get to you, Calvin, we have one more clip from the then president who presided over the outbreak of COVID. Let's talk about it's all going to go away.
It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
No.
I can remember him sitting in the Oval Office saying it's all going to be open by Easter. And won't that be an Easter miracle?
The warmth will kill it.
Warm weather will kill it. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you get the last word. Thank you for your patience, Mark.
Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, I remember COVID hitting halfway into my chemotherapy in 2020. They canceled I was supposed to do the Stephanie Miller show on March 23rd, I think it was, and that got canceled because of COVID. And I was, you know, a little down because I didn't know if I was going to be making it for, you know, that because of the cancer that I had, and that fortunately I'm still here. But I remember the shortage of the PPEs and that, and being alone in the, you know, when I go for treatment, it when COVID hit, you went from having other people to talk to when you get your chemo to being there all by yourself.
Boy, that must have been, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine, Mark, and I'm so glad you're still with us. Thanks for the call. We have a number of texts that we're going to get to on the other side. We have news coming up next. And then we would also love to know, it was 2 years that we were essentially locked down, pretty much. What did you pick up during that time? My sister just texted me. A skill that she picked up during lockdowns. So we'll kick that around next. Yeah. 855-752-4842 if you want to join us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle, fly free. Fly to
the
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Healthy People Wood County reminds us about the importance of National Drug and Alcohol Facts Week. 60% of high school seniors believe that occasional marijuana use is risky. This is according to the 2023 Monitoring the Future survey. This is a notable shift in perception from youth compared to the previous year. Underage marijuana use can interfere with brain development and increase the risk of mental health challenges. It can also impair cognitive functions like memory, attention, and decision-making. Using marijuana at a young age is associated with a higher likelihood of future substance use disorders. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services tells families and teachers to keep an eye on the mental health of their kids and students as they return from spring break. Lisa Hale has more.
According to health officials, self-harm incidents with kids between the ages of 10 and 19 tend to increase following a return from a long school break or during transition periods. They're reminding families and teachers to look out for signs that kids and students may be struggling with their mental health. They're also reminding residents about the 988 Mental Health Crisis Hotline.
As the closely watched Wisconsin Supreme Court election approaches, the Democratic National Committee is expected to announce its earliest ever new election cycle investment. The early move comes as the race between liberal-backed Judge Susan Crawford and conservative-backed Judge Brad Schimmel sees record investment, with more than $59 million already spent in the race. The DNC plans to fund phone banks to connect with voters, assist ground operations, and mobilize thousands of volunteers across the state. There's a blood drive today in Wisconsin Rapids. You can donate at the former East Junior High School from 10 to 3. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The late Gene Hackman did not mention his three children in his will, but they might still end up with some of his $80 million worth of assets. Hackman and his wife, Betsy Arakawa, passed away in late February under mysterious circumstances. Late last week, it was disclosed that Arakawa passed away from the hantavirus a week before her Oscar-winning husband. Authorities say Hackman suffered from Alzheimer's disease and couldn't take care of himself after his wife died, and as a result, passed away a week later. In Betsy's will, it was stated that she left her estate to various charities. Hackman, however, named Betsy as the recipient of his assets, essentially leaving his three now middle-aged children out in the cold, or so it would seem. As it turns out, due to Betsy's death, Hackman has no secondary beneficiaries, so it looks like his kids will be the recipient of their father's $80 million fortune after all. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy but still mild today with highs soaring to the mid-50s. Rain in the morning wants to mix with sleet late morning and flips to all snow by the afternoon. Right now it looks like a couple of inches throughout the day and then another couple of inches at night. I'd say expect around 2 to 5 in total. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 48.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'm joined by Mini Timuraju, the CEO of Reproductive Freedom for All. We talk about the importance of the Supreme Court race that's heating up. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Brewers spring training continues. Crew taking on the Giants this Friday, 3 p.m. Catch the game on several of our Civic Media Brewers affiliates, including WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, and WBZH in Hayward. The Crew and the Giants this Friday with our coverage starting at 3 p.m. Before the break, we were talking about today is the five-year anniversary that the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 a global pandemic. Talking about your memories of those early days of the pandemic. And we did have a couple of texts that I really wanted to get to as well. Catherine listening in Madison on WMDX, Lakeshore Drive in Chicago became the Autobahn because there were so few people around. It's let's just speed. Who's going to stop me?
No. And if you've ever been to Chicago, they drive fast enough as it is.
Yeah, it's almost like the Autobahn anyway. Yeah. Tony the trucker, Jane, I've been a semi driver for 50 years. The past 21 driving for a grocery distributor, we were considered essential. Mm-hmm. Our hours of service were exempted. We were working 80 plus hours a week. What bothered me was the way people denied and defied what the CDC was saying. People at stores were mad at me that I was masked. Eventually, I did get COVID. Thankfully, it was mild. The misinformation really made me angry. Absolutely. I completely agree with you, Tony. And unfortunately, some of that misinformation was coming directly from the White House.
Yep.
It did.
Yep.
He refused to wear a mask. The president of the United States would not mask up.
He tried to suggest cures, anything that wasn't saying like we need to wait for the vaccine. Just wait for the vaccine. There was light, there was bleach, there was horse dewormer, never anything. And then when the vaccine happened, you better thank me because I'm the one who got it done.
Oh yeah. Another texter listening on WAUK in Waukesha. I'm a mail carrier. Working was like having Christmas every day during COVID because of all of the extra packages.
Yeah.
It was scary. I prayed I wouldn't catch it and bring it home. I live with high-risk relatives.
Yeah.
Carol from Waukesha on WAUK, driving on the freeway was so strange. We had several at-risk family members, so I would grocery shop for three extra people and make individual drop-offs so they didn't have to go out in public. And finally, Mark, texting in, whenever I see someone in scrubs or hospital ID, I thank them. I thank my pharmacists and any frontline workers. They were exposed constantly.
Absolutely.
Yes, they were. 855-752-4842. And I'd love to know as well, people were home for a long period of time.
Yes, sir.
Did you pick up any hobbies?
Yeah.
What did you do with your time at home and away from work? Again, at 855-752-4842. Cornell from Merrill is calling in. Good morning, Cornell. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for the call. I read an article back in 2019. I studied this COVID. I was locked down. And in 2019, there was an article that the military warned Trump that he has to move on this COVID. And he admitted that back in January 2020 that he didn't want to move on COVID because he didn't want to disrupt the economy.
He didn't want to scare the markets.
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yes, right. And also, a doctor said you should get vaccinated because if the COVID gets into your lungs, it'll mass produce hundreds of baby COVID. And, it's just quite deadly. And I just wanted to mention that if people don't understand COVID, you're talking about movies. A good movie to watch is Contagious by Paltrow and Winslet. And another movie is Outbreak. Contagious movie is very good.
Thank you, Cornell. I appreciate it. Outbreak is an older movie. That's a considerably older movie with Dustin Hoffman. But it gives a really good visual representation of how things that are airborne can spread.
Yeah.
One person coughs on a plane And that all goes through the air filtration system and spreads it around, essentially. 855-752-4842. And also Bob Woodward, the author Bob Woodward, shared this after the fact, but Trump told him that he knew that it was highly contagious, and he didn't want to say that publicly, just as he said, because he didn't want to upset the markets, because he didn't want the markets to crash.
And didn't that come out in a book recently,
yes,
too?
But that came out in the book later, but he told Woodward that early on in the pandemic.
And I think Woodward took a lot of flack saying, why didn't you say this years ago?
Would have been nice.
Because I want to put it in a book.
Yeah, would have been nice. Ollie from the Northwoods joining us on the line. Good morning, Ollie. What did you want to say?
Well, I'm not an essential worker, but there was a huge number of us who had health care concerns and basically were in jail in our own homes, mm-hmm, and missed the opportunity to be with my kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids, even to this day, because of health issues. I wear a mask when I go out.
Yeah.
I've only been shopping maybe 3 or 4 times since the start of the pandemic, because it is a concern, and it's not gone away. And for Mr. Trump to get up and poo-poo it, even when he told his own son, it came out in Woodward's book, that he told his own son that it was real. And yet he lied to the people of the United States. He was supposed to be our leader,
yep,
and he did not lead.
Yep. Thank you, Ollie. I appreciate that, and that's really well said. No, he did not lead. And going back to all of the false cures, the horse dewormer, all of that stuff, I did more news stories because I was part of a news department at that time. I did more news stories trying to convince people not to take things that will hurt them.
Yeah. I mean, the
poison control, veterinarians. I can give you a list of all the experts that I talked to that, no, you can't take horse dewormer to fight COVID. Here's why that doesn't work.
I was shopping at Farm and Fleet years ago, and this is not a joke. This is for real. Where they sold the ivermectin, they had a sign saying you had to provide a picture of you and the horse you owned to buy ivermectin. Because people were buying this stuff for COVID when people actually needed it for their horses.
Did you start a hobby during COVID? Are you still baking sourdough bread? Are you still bragging about your starter? I'm curious. My sister heard us and texted in. She says, I learned how to make brandy old fashions during COVID. I bought my first muddler after watching Charlie Behrens. What a skill. Isn't that when he really took off? Was during COVID?
No, it was before. He was already well known in Wisconsin before COVID, but then
He really took off, though.
But honestly, I'm not even kidding you. In the past year, it's gone into the stratosphere. I mean, like, headlining all over the country, sold out shows, we could talk about this for hours. But yeah, I mean, he has his own brandy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So. But I remember when my sister, Suzanne, and she showed me that video about it was having the floater.
Yeah.
I just remember the floater in the old fashioned.
Yeah.
And so what skill did you pick up? What did you learn? What are you still doing that you picked up during COVID? 855-752-4842.
Angie from Monroe says, chickens. I started getting into them. Now I'm up to 50 and I sell them at $3 or they go to the food pantry.
Oh, good for you, Angie.
Yeah, I mean, that's very, very cool.
And you know, Angie, at some point, I would love to have you back on the show to talk about raising chickens, because that was a suggestion by a Trump administration official. That Americans, we should all just be raising our own chickens, apparently.
Yeah, why are you a sucker and paying a lot of money for eggs? Get yourself a chicken.
I would love to find out about some of the finer details of raising chickens, because I think the assumption is it's just so easy. There's nothing to worry about. They kind of raise themselves, and I don't think that's true.
I think it's expensive to get into because
you need a coop.
You need a coop. You need materials.
Feed and all those things.
Shizu on the live stream said, I took a national Zoom class from an astrophysicist about world building and writing, and later I went down a rabbit hole of studying different aspects of Chinese metaphysics. My goodness, well, that's cool.
You put us all to shame.
I just built some Lego sets. Wow, okay, cool deal.
I became obsessed with dog mushers.
Like the Iditarod?
Like the Iditarod.
Yeah, my friend does that.
For some reason, this woman showed up on my timeline, and I became that. I would spend hours and hours and hours just following her.
Yeah.
And then eventually into the race. This was after COVID had lessened and they allowed that back. But yeah, that's kind of what I got into big time. Because again, I was still working. I was considered essential. Yeah.
I mean, I was at home. I worked at a barber shop at the time and then the club was closed. And so those first few days were just weird. You'd walk out of the bedroom and be like, so what do we do now? I guess we just watch a lot of television. And then my friend said, hey, do you want to get on Instagram Live and just the two of us build Lego sets? And I'm not kidding you. By the end of it, within a year, I built 40 sets.
Holy mackerel.
From like, 300 piecers to the Bond car or the White House. And I built.
Impressive.
I built a lot of Lego sets.
I bet you were not alone.
No.
Didn't puzzles also run out?
Puzzles went up in popularity. Lego went up in popularity. I mean, it's just
probably just board games.
Board games. I mean, it's very, very like the puzzle one too. Yeah, people were getting crazy for puzzles.
What did you pick up during the pandemic that you still do today? Maybe you're not making sourdough bread anymore. That's fine.
I think Jane just wants you to bring her bread. Like,
that would be nice. Text her on WMDX. I was making my own edibles. Fair enough.
Cops, get in here. We got him.
Fair enough.
That's
hilarious.
Mark is saying horse dewormer is for worms. Antibiotics are for bacteria. Anti-parasite drugs are for parasites. Only antivirals work on viruses. Very true. And I'm not even a doctor, and I pretty much knew that. But yeah, the Lego set was, because honestly, I just watched TV. I should have done more. Looking back now, I should have practiced guitar more.
Picked up an instrument.
I mean, yeah, like I just had all this time.
Calligraphy.
I'm looking back now. I'm like, people started multi-million-dollar businesses out of their homes because like I lost my job and I really like stitching. So I started an Etsy page and, they're selling 5 things a month and then 10 things. And then they go on social media and social media changed that landscape for
really
a
did.
Lot of people.
Yeah, it really did. Sally is on the line. Real quickly, Sally, we don't have a whole lot of time. Thank you for joining us. Oh, it's Whistler.
Whistler,
good morning. What do you want to say quickly? And your hat's on the way, by the way.
Sports cards. Collectible sports cards.
Oh.
That's what I did. I added to my collection during that time.
Fair enough.
Nice.
Basketball.
Cool. Appreciate it, Whistler. Thanks for checking in.
Yeah. We appreciate everyone texting and calling today. I should have practiced more guitar.
Sarah from Green Bay says diamond art.
Diamond dotting.
Diamond dotting.
Is that bedazzling?
It's not. It's more about making a piece of artwork with little rhinestones.
I was going to say, my friend got into dotting art where she would like just take a fine pen and dot and would make these beautiful
amazing
pieces. And I'm just like, God, I am not talented.
You made Lego.
I looked at a book and followed instructions.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. It was really very interesting. And I think it's important. Let's not forget.
No.
Let's not forget.
Please don't.
Where we were 5 years ago. We're going to light it up when we come back. This shouldn't be a thing. Today, the Butterfly Kisses edition. You'll want to hear it. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Hello, doorman. I have questions. Word around Wisconsin Rapids is that DoorWorks is the business to ask about all things doors.
Why, yes. For over three decades, we've been the premier door service provider in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding areas.
What services do you provide? And can I order a custom style or color?
We supply, install, and service a variety of doors. If we don't have it in stock in our large warehouse, we customize the style, color, and more. Call DoorWorks for a free estimate today.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. President Young Person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. This is actually my vacation eve.
Okay.
I'll be gone Thursday, Friday, and then on Monday, I'm taking a little trip to go see a friend.
Nice.
Out of town. But Greg and Calvin will be here to hold things down. And coming up on the show on tomorrow, which I think should be really interesting, they recently discovered a shipwreck in Lake Superior.
Yeah.
132 years old.
Is it that boat that those people left and went back to New Jersey?
It is not. Different boat.
Sorry.
Much bigger. Much bigger. It's called the Western Reserve.
Oh.
And Lake Superior sure keeps her secrets, man. That boat's been down there a long time. But we're going to find out more about the Western Venture tomorrow morning, coming up with Corey Atkins. Will be joining us around 11:30, so I hope you can stick around for that. Right now, 11:53, Calvin, that means it is time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. The headline today reads, men are now trimming their eyelashes to appear less feminine, and it's a big yikes.
Yeah.
The byline from Ko Miszewski says, a new trend claims that toxic masculine men are now trimming their eyelashes to be less feminine, and people are horrified. Manly men who wouldn't be caught dead with lashes are now getting them shaved or trimmed off. Trending TikTok videos show various alpha males, I assume, sitting in a barber's chair with their eyelashes getting trimmed off. It is baffling the internet. Let us remind ourselves, this is an important point, eyelashes actually serve a purpose.
Yes.
As a protective barrier for our eyes to help keep out debris and dust and other small things floating around in the air. They serve a purpose. A video featuring a guy getting his eyelashes trimmed off.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah.
Has gotten over 36 million views. Not a rare scenario. The account posted another video showing another guy with his lashes getting shortened to try and look more manly. Captions read, "No, they're not doing this so their eyelashes will grow thicker and stronger. They're doing this because of toxic masculinity, thinking they look tougher with their eyelashes shaved off."
In all the movies, all the TV shows, all the personal interactions I've ever had in my life, I've never heard a single woman say his eyelashes make him look like a woman. In fact, it's the opposite.
Yes.
I've seen women say, "I'm jealous of his eyelashes."
Yes.
And I used to be a barber, and I'm going to do a little play. It's going to take very much. You be the customer and say, "I'll be the barber, you be the customer, and tell me what you want.
I want you to trim off my eyelashes, Mr. Bach."
"No, thank you. Have a good day. Goodbye." That's it. I would never do that as a responsible barber. I know they're doing it. I know they're probably getting paid. And I hope they're charging a ton. But that to me is just so irresponsible.
Well, and as you pointed out, ladies, I'm sure will agree with me. Like you just said, if we see a guy with Bambi eyelashes, that is a magnet, baby. It's like, "Oh my gosh, your eyes, they're so gorgeous." Mm-hmm. Yeah, every man hates hearing how beautiful his eyes are.
That is one of the nicest compliments. I remember when I worked at a bank and one guy came, his name is Dan, and all the girls would swoon. Like, "His eyelashes, he's so pretty." I'm like, "Really? That's what's pretty now? Here I am trying to, like, you know, stay under a certain weight and trying to be cool, and you're like, eyelashes, well, great.
Good to know.
Oh, awesome."
I just, for all the guys, if you are inclined to do this,
don't.
Save them. Because there are women who will take them and glue them onto their own eyelids.
If you are asking this question, do not ask your best friend. He does not care about you. Ask an adult. Ask a doctor. Talk to a doctor.
Talk to a doctor.
Talk to a doctor before you do this and tell them this is something you want to do. Because, once again, they will grow back. And you have to go right back to the barbershop. This is... Just don't do it.
Yeah, just don't do it.
Don't.
Butterfly Kisses Edition. Yeah, no. That wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
We have news coming up next, followed by Todd Alba from noon to 2, Maggie Dawn 2 to 4, Dom Salvia 4 to 6, and then Pete Schwabba 6 to 8 p.m. Mike Clemens, Civic Media News, sports reporter, going to be joining us, joining him to talk a little March Madness.
Nice.
Tomorrow morning, it's Pat Kreitlow early from Up North News Radio 6 to 8, and then Earl Ingram right before us from 8 to 10 a.m. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you, most of all, for calling and texting and for listening. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it, even if it's just a little bit. Keep it right here on the vast Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Up North News creator and editor Christina Laurie. Then Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens joins the show to discuss the NCAA tournament. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Presidents Trump and Putin have been talking about Ukraine. CBS's Weijia Jiang.
The main thing is a ceasefire deal to eventually try to end the conflict between Russia and Ukraine.
A judge tells the Trump administration to explain why it disobeyed his order not to deport dozens of Venezuelan nationals last weekend. CBS's Camilo Montoya Galvez.
The administration is making this far-fetched, sweeping argument that Tren de Aragua is orchestrating an invasion of this country and so forth. The people who are allegedly part of this gang have to be treated as enemy aliens.
Less than 6 hours away from splashdown for astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams, whose space station flight lasted 277 days longer than expected. CBS's Mark Strassman.
A helicopter will lift them up, take them over to the Florida Panhandle, and then they'll be put on a NASA jet and taken over to Houston for a reunion with their families for the first time in almost 10 months.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
James here.